Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. If you want to be in touch with the program, the text line is the best way to do it, 251-343-0106. Still come on the program about an hour from now. My now radio colleague, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, kind of more of a North Alabama phenomenon, will be with us. That's in about an hour. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, former state senator Dick Brubaker, we always have him on, always a lively discussion. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, though, it's been a few weeks, but we're always glad to get him. State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I guess you've been on vacation or whatnot, but generally speaking, and I know these times when you get through the after sign and die, there's a few things going on. Some of you make some of these trips and things like that, but going on home in the district, much to talk about there.
Yeah, everything's been kind of slow for the most part, which is a good thing. Kind of give us time to catch our breath and catch up. But, you know, just kind of monitoring what's going on across the country and nationwide, and watching some of our local elections, like the Mobile mayor's race and some of that situation. But other than that, everything's been pretty quiet. You know, we did just get back from traveling and, you know, got affected by the airline delays and everything that was going on with that over the last 3 or 4 days. That was pretty frustrating. But other than that, everything's running pretty smooth.
Yeah, well, we'll talk, I guess, kind of go to the well here and hit some of these things that are in your district. It still seems like we're deliberating about the Big Creek Lake situation. Not a whole lot of movement, but I guess what I'm surprised with the mayoral election up that we haven't, and then maybe there's time for that, but we haven't heard as much about that in this municipal election cycle.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Creek Lake issue, the group that's been advocating to open the lake back up are still working hard. They've hired an attorney to help fight that fight. From speaking with some of them, I think the Moss group, has their attorneys have been trying to get the lake deemed as not a navigable waterway, which I don't think they're going to be able to accomplish that or do. So, you know, they're going to continue to fight the fight off session. And then if nothing is accomplished or done before we go back to session, then I'll be pre-filing my bill again and be ready to go pushing that forward. And hopefully we can get something done with that.
Yeah, because you had to file that bill kind of mid-session. And I guess the problem was, you know, when you do that, sometimes you'll strike gold. But generally speaking, if you're not ahead of it and working on it and kind of in the off season and trying to whip votes and things like that, it could fall through the cracks.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. You know, we were up against time with the bill and really got it a lot further than I thought we might. I was really impressed with the progress we made on it. Was, you know, like everybody, optimistic and hopeful that it would pass, but it did not happen. But I think we're sitting in a good seat now, ready to go for the next session.
Well, anything you need to, that you learn from that, though, that you need to do different this time around? Is there, and I guess the kind of leading into that question would be this, is there a way to compromise with these people, or do they seem pretty dug in?
Yeah, and I thought we were headed in that direction with Moss leadership. You know, they had told me that they were considering opening the lake back up, and that was an option, and put the, you know, try to put the boat washes back in play. But, you know, for some reason, after negotiations with their board and members, they decided not to do that, at this time. So, you know, we'll continue to try to negotiate and see if they'll do the right thing, be good neighbors, and let's open this lake back up. But if not, then we'll just have to, you know, go the legislative route and just push it, you know, try to push the bill and see if we can't get it through and force them to open the lake back up as they should.
Because what it looks like to me, they're just, well, we could wait this guy out, or we could wait out any threats to this new policy. You know, maybe they'll forget about it, or maybe it'll go away, but it doesn't sound like you're going to let go of this.
No, we're not. You know, this is the right fight. We're doing the right thing for the citizens of Mobile County and surrounding areas that use the lake. You know, a lot of people have moved out in that area because of that lake, bought boats because of that lake. You know, a lot of issues out there. And, you know, right now, Miles is cutting a lot of timber, doing a lot of work out there around the lake, which, you know, we're trying to figure out what's going on with that at this time and see what the situation is. But, you know, their attorney that they've hired is looking into all of that and what needs to be done there. But we'll continue to, you know, continue to monitor the situation, stay on top of it. And hopefully, you know, at some point, I would hope that the board and the leadership at Moss would do the right thing and let's put the boat wash back in place and let's open this boat launch and the lake back up.
And just kind of one more point on that, because like what we learned, like when these pseudo governmental bodies seem to be very flippant, and I would point to the Birmingham Water Works board, and that was always like, oh, we don't have to worry about this. There's always going to be Bobby Singleton and Roger Smitherman who are going to stop that from ever happening. That at some point, like, you know, the legislature, if you just kind of ignore these concerns, then the legislature can act and the legislature can do something. And now these guys, I mean, they're obviously trying all these remedies through the court system, but I mean, that's kind of, you're kind of on the losing end. That you got to take guys like you seriously when you talk about doing something through the legislative process to curb it looks to me just sort of a power grab.
Yeah, it was, you know, kind of shocking to me to know that a board, a unelected board or director of Moss could shut down a navigable waterway without any, you know, any kind of authority, in my opinion, whatsoever. So, and it's been a challenge to get them to do something. You know, I think the state may wind up stepping in at some point and getting involved in this from what I'm being told. And so it may take the governor or something like that to step in and try to force them to do the right thing. But, you know, it's just been disappointing talking with some of the Moss employees and board and director. And, you know, I just really wish that they would have done the right thing and let's open this back up and get the boat washes back in place, but they are absolutely not moving yet.
Well, you think the state could do something besides having to use the exhaustive legislative process here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a navigable waterway. The state is stocked that lake with over 900,000 bass. The state's invested a lot of money and resources into that lake over the years. So they have a vested interest in trying to make sure that the citizens have this natural resource available to them. So it would not shock me or surprise me if the Department of Natural Resources or the state in some form does not step in and try to address this, because, you know, we're having issues with other water boards across the state, and, you know, we don't want this to get out of hand and out of control and cut off resources to our citizens if we can stop it.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. The other big issue for you, we haven't spent much time on it, but I was thinking about this. Going to have a new governor. You're probably going to have new cabinet officials, new department heads, new directors, et cetera. The 45 issue and the strategy there, and thinking about it in the terms of a new governor and maybe making it a campaign issue. But, you know, it's always, for how many years, how many decades now, Representative, has there been some discussion about widening that road or doing something to improve it? But I guess you got to start thinking about that now if you want to make that a post-2026 thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this fight's been going on for over 40 years from what we can see or gather information. And, you know, it's to me, it's a no-brainer to get in here and tackle it. At one point, it was one of the deadliest highways in Alabama. And I don't see how it's going to get better with all the traffic going to the beaches from out of state. So it's time to address it, time for us to step up and put some, you know, asphalt on the ground and make these roads safer for those communities up there. I mean, like the cities like Citronelle and Fruitdale and those areas, man, it's hard for them to grow whenever they're just getting suffocated out. I mean, they can't even hardly, it's so difficult to get supplies and the supply chain up there without it being more expensive. And it's, you know, it's just created a lot of problems. We've got to figure out a way to address this. And I've given them a way over the years and doing the kind of a pay as you go program. Let's attack it. It's roughly 60 miles. Let's attack it maybe at 15 or 20 mile segments until we can get it done. But I think we're going to have a better shot at it with the potentially new administrations coming in, new leadership across the state and in the ALDOT in different directions. So we'll continue to fight. And as you said, I'm working and trying to meet with everybody I can now to grease the wheels to hopefully make that happen in the future.
Now, like they were doing some improvements on it and, but it was being done in a way, replacing a bridge or whatever, in a way that just, not anticipating anything ever being done, to widen it, you know, and you talked about that, you've been talking about that for a while. Is that, that's still the operating procedure, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty disappointing. You know, they just replaced one of the bridges up there to Washington County line in Citronelle. And it was, you know, that would have been a good time to go ahead and address the bridge and build for the future. But instead we went back with a two lane bridge, you know, there. And to me, if there's any chance or possibility of us four laning or doing something with this road, then that's a total waste of money. If they're, you know, if they're not anticipating on doing any changes or correcting the road anytime soon, then that's an indication of why they didn't do that. So either way, it was extremely disappointing that we did not, in my opinion, you know, use the taxpayers' money extremely wise, and let's go ahead and address a few of these issues as we are replacing bridges and doing some of that now.
Yeah, and you know, they give you a, or they have a number in mind. I don't know what their number is in mind to improve this. But it just always seems to be way, way on the high side to make it even more out of reach, because it's just not a project that the state right now under this administration is really interested in. But like they, you know, the idea of building a Citronelle bypass, and you know, and they add all these things on, and there's no sort of halfway happy medium. It's either all or nothing, it seems like, when we have these discussions.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's, you know, to me, I think some of that stall tactics, some of it is trying to convince, you know, I think they're trying to convince like the city of Citronelle to oppose that because they may get bypassed. And, you know, I think they're just realistically, you know, trying to find reasons not to do this instead of reasons to do this. So we're just going to have to, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. We're going to have to continue to be that squeaky wheel and continue to fight for our, you know, our district and our part of the state.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not, you know, I don't know what the traffic count is, but the thing I always like, so report these stories at 1819 News, and it's always hard when there's a road project that, you know, is talked about and getting a number. Getting a number from somewhere besides what ALDOT will give you. And then I put like the 65 widening, you know, and things like that, that they just won't. There's it's almost like a need to know basis about what these things would cost if they were ever to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, that's been difficult to try to get a estimate or price on how much per mile we're looking at on four-laning 45.
I mean, isn't that strange to you that you go around and you ask, and I know you have, and no one really wants to divulge that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of aggravating and frustrating dealing with that, and then trying to get an idea of how much we spend as a state north of Montgomery on infrastructure and roads and bridges compared to what we do south of Montgomery in the south part of the state. And that's been difficult to even get that number or those numbers. And of course, we have spent a lot of money on infrastructure, roads and bridges over in Baldwin County over the last 4 or 5 years or 6 years. So, but that's not, you know, that's not working out. There have been a few districts. I know Representative Chip Brown got a roundabout in his district down in 105.
These are all like small potatoes, small ball things. Just like Tommy Tuberville, who's running for governor, I'm sure you're aware. But he's just like, we spent the last like 8-9 years just repaving roads, and we're not expanding roads. Now, look, I know these roads all need like maintenance and they need improvements to increase their durability. But the sort of the Cooper era of the Aldott has been just to kind of maintain the status quo.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's, and then any time I've brought up another project or another road that's being addressed in another part of the state, Director Cooper's like, well, their county commissioners are putting skin in the game. They're putting money toward this project, and that's why we're able to do that. If you'll go back and convince Mobile and Washington County commissions to put a certain amount or put money toward these projects, we can look at that. But that's difficult, man. The counties have their own roads to address, and
well, they're and then we're going along here, but they're fixing like county roads that the county should be paying for. This is a federal highway. This is U.S. Highway 45. It's been around forever, and the legislature has even tinkered with the idea of widening it and making it four lane, and then they rolled it back. But that's just the point. The division here of this administration, with the exception of this West Alabama corridor, is like just sort of like maintain the status quo. And the whole rebuild Alabama thing was, you're not really adding capacity. You're just kind of keeping things. I guess I don't know what kind of disarray they were pre 2019. But it does seem like it's this wealth redistribution program to take from places that could generate a lot of gas tax revenue and send it to counties that don't really have that ability.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, also that brings up another discouraging point. We went into the gas tax, looking at that, and I changed my opinion on that and voted for it in hopes that we would be able to, get Highway 45 done and, get something done there. And I don't know of any major projects outside of 158 in my district.
Which was BP oil settlement money, too. Hey, Representative, we've gone way long here, but thanks for hopping on this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Y'all have a blessed day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.